jaloux. Soleil contre amour envieux. Soleil masqué par une face blêmie. Qui par trois jours a retenu mamie. Seul au logis par un temps pluvieux.
Welcome to Nina, Hannah, and Emily in Paris, the show no one asked for about the show no one asked for. I'm Nina.
And I'm Hannah.
And just like Emily and her pals, we are back for a third season.
Woohoo! Woo! If you're new to the show, we are two Chicago girls recapping the life of our beloved, but also unhinged, problematic, dishonest, joyfully naive marketing queen, originally from Chicago, as noted for about 2 seconds in the pilot, Emily Cooper. And we're super not at all officially connected to Netflix or the Emily in Paris media enterprise in any way.
Do we really need to say that?
I don't know. But now that we actually have listeners, I'm like worried about it. So just again, we are Nina, Hannah, Emily in Paris. We have no affiliation with the show.
But we're open to it.
But we're about to be clear.
We would love a little Netflix cash.
I'll do anything for money. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
As we like to say, you don't have to have enjoyed or even watched Emily in Paris to listen to this podcast. We are here to recap the episodes. And more importantly, to entertain. There is simply no wrong way to listen.
We did a little extended second season. So if you've been following our podcast, then you know that we intermittently put out character studies and like quote unquote deep dives into articles about Emily in Paris as a cultural touchstone. And we also did episodes called Are We in Paris, which were basically opportunities for Nina and myself to chat about what the heck we were up to / how we were doing relative to Emily's glamorous, sexy-ish life in Paris.
We're going to start our episode today with a mini Are We in Paris segment before going into the first episode of season three. So briefly, Hannah, are you in Paris? And how are you?
I'm not physically in Paris. Mentally, I think I'm a little in Paris. I just did a 24-hour improv show for like a fundraiser. And it was like definitely like a who's who of Chicago musicians and like bigger names, because it was a live stream and it was a fundraiser and people were trying to, they were trying to raise money. And the people who started the charity, it's like a fundraiser for families around Christmas time, to like give
them. I hate to say this while you're talking about a charity, but you sound so bored and tired.
And I'm not, and I just don't, I mean, there's like poverty this, poverty that.
I just don't see how you're going to raise a lot of money with that attitude.
With that attitude? Well, I gave it all. I left it all on the floor last night, or yesterday and the night before. So I feel like I'm in this like weird space of like not being like totally present, as if I'd been a room full of people doing like getting high and I have like secondhand high or something like that. Yeah. And I feel like that's a little bit what Paris is. You're like smoking cigarettes and like it's a little languorous. I don't know if that's the right use of that word.
Yeah.
And also just like as in Emily's world, people just like popping up and like all being in the same room. It was definitely like everybody in the little corner of Chicago in the same room last night. And that was really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. Steve Albini cooked us food.
That's pretty cool and weird and fun. That's like a very Chicago moment.
It was such a Chicago moment. And in like the most Chicago moment ever, as I've said before, you'll never guess who performed.
Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah, but he also helped create the.
It's like if Jeff Tweedy can't make it, or like if Jeff Tweedy's not the right person for the audience, then Chance the Rapper will be there.
That's right.
And if Chance isn't the right person for the audience,
it's not Chicago.
Jeff Tweedy will be there. Yeah. I think they just like look at the calendar of galas for the year and kind of like
they split. Their people get together.
Yeah,
January 1st every year. Chance's people, Jeff's people. Well, we love Jeff Tweedy. He was great. He really made me, I was very emotional during his performance two nights ago now.
Huge nerdy Wilco fan.
I think it's very cool. I think it's cool that you're a nerd about Wilco.
Thank you.
So I'm a little bit in Paris. Yeah. How are you? Are you
in Paris? I'm so not in Paris.
Yeah. Speak on it.
Yeah. So I got laid off from my job. And then on my last day of my job, which this is only funny to note because this happened when I quit my job a year ago.
So funny.
It's hilarious. I got COVID. So now I have COVID and I'm unemployed. So I would say I'm like pretty far from Paris.
Hey, Nina, can I just talk to you really fast? Because we were actually going to try to make this like a positive show.
And it feels like you're kind of.
This is supposed to be kind of like a fun thing for people.
I'm so not feeling that way. But as you can see, if you follow us on Instagram, where I'll post a little screenshot for the super fans, I did get like a little France flag a few months ago. We got a France flag a couple months ago, so I have that hanging behind me. And I am trying to bring a positive attitude, but yesterday, my girlfriend took me out for a little drive. She had to go to the post office and the store, and she was like, you can just be in the car and experience the world a little bit, because I've been home for 3 days. And I was like, or no, I've been home for 6 days. And I was like, waiting in the car while she was in the post office. And I was like, I feel terrible. Like, my little joyride was...
Not fun.
So
COVID ruined your joyride?
Ruined my joyride. Among other things, I mean, it ruined so many things. It ruined my Christmas party. It ruined my Christmas plans. Ruined my health. But I have been able to watch a lot of TV. And I knit a... Oh, no.
What'd you knit?
I knit a cover for my hot water bottle.
Hey, Nina, we said that we didn't want to like make this a sad episode. Like, that's kind of a pathetic little
anecdote. Now my hot water bottle will be a little bit cozy instead of just like hard rubber against my skin.
That's cool. That's really Thanks. Cool. Hey, you're making the best out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And that's very Emily of you. Because as we all remember, the first season, she really had to make the best out of being absolutely despised by everybody she met for like the first year she lived in Paris.
Can I tell you something that I think Emily would do? Like, if I were Emily.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on day 7 and I'm still isolating. I'm going to isolate through day 10. I think Emily would have gone out on night 5.
Yeah, because like, she's still testing positive, symptoms, and she's like, yeah, but it's
like
five
her
days.
Symptoms are really low, like they're way less. Like my symptoms are like mostly gone. I pretty much just have a headache and like a little bit of congestion. My symptoms haven't been terrible the whole time, but like according to the CDC, because my symptoms haven't been that bad, I can go out, and I could have gone out 2 nights ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, Emily goes out night 5.
Yeah, I think you're so right.
She's like, oh my god, yes, it's night 5. Dig in.
I feel like a perfect moment to reveal, in case it's not obvious because we're not talking about it, we haven't watched the first episode of season 3 yet. We decided that we would do this little check-in. We would get everybody super freaking amped, and then you'll just like wait a second, but we'll actually go and watch the show before doing our recap. So I guess my last final little mini question is like, is there, you know, we've talked about it a little bit in our extended season. Is there anything that you think we can expect from season 3? Of Emily in Paris.
Yeah, I've been doing some thinking about it. I think
you've
that,
had time.
Yeah, I had a lot of time on my hands. I think that she's going to continue to make bad decisions, and I think she's going to continue to lie because I don't think she's realized that that's her problem.
Yeah.
What do you think is going
to
happen?
I think they're going to have to write Alfie better because I think he's very underwritten. So there's part of me that's like, is Alfie going to be a super important character for all the third season? I think that they could make it work. I just find his character to offer so little. They just don't have enough chemistry. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think she's going to continue to make bad decisions. I think Gabrielle's going to still be like a really big part of it. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Alfie. But I bet we can expect some mishaps and miscommunications for our little Miss Cooper.
Can't wait.
Should we watch? Yeah, I'm so excited.
Let's do it.
Okay. Bye. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Oh, wild.
Simply the longest McDonald's ad I've ever watched.
we've tussled with this question of like, you know, taking it seriously, loving it, not loving it, being honest, like how to, you know, kind of letting go of oneself to enjoy. I have to say, the second season felt, I feel like when we watched the first episode, it was like, cool, they like found their footing of what the show is going to be, and or I was just in a different place. Watching this, I was like, this is so unhinged. I mean, least of all because it begins with a dream sequence.
I know.
We got to jump in, I want to ask, do you watch the recap?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. It just feels like threatening to us as a podcast that they do that. Like, I feel like it should be listen to the podcast.
No, I mean, I definitely could use like a paycheck from Netflix or McDonald's.
I was thinking about that. Well, without spoiling, but you know, we'll get to it when we get to it. Okay, so it begins. Opening shot, very catch, Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes, a very, I agree completely. It was very Carrie Bradshaw, and it was very, like, specifically that dress she wears in Paris.
Yes, the purple one.
On Sex and the City.
Uh-huh. Yeah, felt like a little Easter egg. I bet there's even more to it that we don't even know. Maybe it's the same designer. Who's to say?
I gotta say, I doubt there's more to it.
I think they've, like, gotten really into the fashion part of it. Or maybe they always were.
Yeah, like... Anyways.
So it begins with that. I want to know at what point, I will say I felt like this entire episode at large, I like guessed what was coming every step of the way. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that mm-hmm. to be like, wow, I'm so good at da da da. I just like did experience that this one. I was not really surprised by anything mm-hmm. once like the groundwork was being led. So mm-hmm. I realized it was going to be a dream. I'm curious if there was a moment you realized it was a dream. Because I didn't for a while. Yeah. I was just like, oh, it's soap. It's soapy. We're doing a soap opera.
So I thought that first shot was like unusually beautiful. And so I was like, that's weird. Why is that shot so like pretty?
Yeah.
And then when Madeline said, who would be stupid enough to hire you in Paris? And Sylvie appeared. I was like, okay, that's a dream.
Yeah, same.
It's a dream.
I also want to say like, what was with
her bag? Yeah. So I... Yeah.
Well, for those who don't watch the show, because we do have a listenership that doesn't, she has a huge pregnant belly, which I do want to talk about. And she was holding the square purse on top of her belly, like facing out in mm-hmm. a very weird way. Every scene mm-hmm. it was in multiple scenes.
Yeah. So I couldn't tell because, look, I'm going to Google it right now because I couldn't tell what the bag was, which is just my, you know, fashion.
Oh, but
ignorance.
Maybe it's that bag brand that came out of the show. Wasn't there a bag brand that came out of the show?
No, there's a glove.
Oh, right.
Brand
there's a leather glove. You're right. and this is real. This is really what we're talking about in 2022.
Oh, it comes up. Madeline, Emily in Paris bag. Okay. Let me see. Okay. But that's not the bag. So I'm looking, but I'm not seeing the answer. Honestly, if anyone can reach out.
Yeah.
I'm like really curious why that bag was front and center for every shot because it was the kind of thing that you do when someone's faking pregnancy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like faking that they're saying that they're not trying to hide a pregnancy, which obviously that's not what
this is
about.
Yeah. So I was like, what's with this bag? Because I didn't know what the logo was.
Bizarre. Really bizarre.
I wish I was bigger on Twitter because I know it's the kind of thing I could like ask on Twitter and have people just like really show up.
We're going to say it later. We have an email, which is emilyinparispod@gmail.com. Please send us a voice memo. We'll leave directions at the end of the episode. But mm-hmm. if you know anything or you have anything to say about it, let us know.
Yeah, if you have any clues. So, yeah. So, basically, Emily's having this dream that Madeline and Sylvie confront her on the top of the Eiffel Tower. And they're like, you have to choose between us. Your job and your life is in Chicago. And Sylvie's like, you're meant to be here, blah, blah, blah. And then she falls to her death off the Eiffel Tower.
Totally. The effects were wild. Mm-hmm. It was like three shots. Really? So it was her like falling, then it was like her underwear as she was, and then it was a wide of her. It was really something to see. Felt like a bad trip.
Yeah, it was. And then she wakes up in her apartment. She runs to the bathroom. She files her nails like a sociopath,
I made the same note. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Crazy. I'm like, for someone that to me, that was like, oh, because she's Phil Collins's daughter. She's never done her own nails.
That's so funny. I want to describe what it is, but I actually think this is a good moment we'll just do it on camera. So you have to go to our Instagram to see what we mean because it was unhinged, but she's doing this. It doesn't make sense.
Using my lip balm for reference. This. So first of all, a simple Google tells you just to file your nail in one direction.
A simple Google.
Second of all, to do all at once, also to have that be the thing you jump out of bed to do, there's a lot confusing about that. And then she does her current, then there's an ad for the current body.
I made that out too.
Face mask. They make sure we can read the brand very clearly, even though it's in the mirror.
Very weird.
And then she cuts her bangs.
And I will say before she got her bangs, I loved how her hair looked. I like, it was the most... Yeah. Relatable, I found her was when she had like messy long hair in front of her face and she's being like comical about it. Just mm-hmm. Lily Collins doing some comedy. And I was like, keep the hair and I'll hate you less. And then she cuts bangs and they're the worst. They're terrible.
Yeah, rough.
But it's a plot point, I guess, to a degree.
Yeah.
But I do love Mindy. I'm fully on board with Ashley Park. I love her little, like, her first entrance is her saying, no. Or something like that. It's very cute. It's very funny.
Yes, we see them at a cafe. Their new neighbor, Camille, who's back with Gabrielle, rolls up.
Which, as a reminder,
looking just gorgeous.
It has not been resolved. Like, she's still shady. And I'm just bummed by that. Like, I don't get off on, like, friend drama as, like, I don't know. Like, you know, obviously romantic drama can be fun and, like, scintillating, you know? Like, a will mm-hmm. they, won't they? But a will they, won't they heal from this pain as friends is, like, not fun for me.
Totally.
But Mindy's outfit's amazing. It's like a green pantsuit.
I also liked Emily's sweater.
Really fun.
But nothing could prevent us from noticing the kind of unhinged content of the whole episode. No. They, like, Mindy references Emily needing to be on birth control, and Emily's like, yeah, I'm on birth control. And I'm like, I don't think you've had sex. Like, she just gives such a sexless vibe.
God. Right. I forgot that that's your fan theory, is that she's actually never gone all the way. Also, it's really funny.
She's rounded first. No. She's gone to second base. I do think she's gone to second base. Oh, over the shirt.
For sure, over the shirt. Are you kidding? And over the pant. a little over the clothes handy. It was also just funny to be like, these women in their late 20s, like, the like riskiness of asking your friend if you're on birth control, there was sort mm-hmm. of a tenor of like, I'm going to ask you this bold question. It's like, I know, whatever. That's very like early 20s judgment filled. Like, versus, I mean, I think I've known.
Early 20s. I'm like, go back further.
Okay, brag.
No, but not even saying like, that's when I was on birth control, but I'm like.
Yeah, like there'd be talk about it. Go on. No. No, yeah, for sure. Talk about it in high school. Like, I was very, whatever, being like very principledly, like, well, you know, you have to, and you have to use two, and like, da 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 da. It's great. No judgment to mm-hmm. like that, you know, that ethos. I famously don't believe.
So to be clear, your stance is.
Going on record as not really caring. Yeah. It's not real. I don't think it does anything. I just think prayer is the only thing you can
rhythm,
do.
Rhythm.
Rhythm and prayer. I don't not think. Okay, anyway. The point is, I know what birth control my friends have been on, like, by sequence, like, yearly. Like, you ask me any of my friends, and yeah. I'm like, they're on this. This was a bad experience. They regretted doing this, and they're happy with this. It was just very strange.
Yeah, I agree. Especially given that they're roommates.
Right?
Also, it's like so something that I noticed, I would say generally.
Yeah. We're just dragging the episode. It feels like first season vibes. Sorry, go on.
I would just say generally, it's really funny where they choose to have specifics versus be incredibly vague in a way where like they're leaving an opportunity for sponsorship everywhere. Where like for them to be like, you're on birth control, right? But not specify what birth control. Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be too
but
much.
Then to be like wildly specific about
the face mask,
McDonald's and the face mask. And yeah, it's just, it's kind of, I'm kind of getting a kick out of it. Like even when they were like, oh my God, we're playing at a jazz club.
Yeah.
And be like so nondescript about like the jazz club where like anyone, where like
I think they give a name.
They're not.
They give a name for it.
Eventually they do give the name. It is the Les Trompettes Bleues. Or in English, that would translate to the blue trumpet.
That's amazing. I didn't know you spoke French.
Yeah, just picking up things from watching the show.
And then we get to that. That is very funny. I don't mean to.
Thank you.
That's real. And it is funny. And a fun thing to keep our eye towards, what they're specific about, what they're specific about, and what they're not specific about.
Moving on.
We go to Savoir. I will say, I wrote down, because we see Madeline, she's like courting Gabrielle and Antoine, mm-hmm. the restaurant. And that was fun. I like when I saw the both of them, I was like, damn, both of them look really good. Mm-hmm. Particularly Gabrielle with his new like lesbian haircut. I love it. It's really working for me. Really working for me, unsurprisingly. I will say I wrote down belly jokes because it's like, why must like so much making fun of pregnant women, which we got a little bit at the end of second season, but it's like, really going in. I would say like the biggest punchline is not her being like new money vibes, which we talked about before, or being American. It's like genuinely that she has a big stomach. A lot of, I would say, physical comedy, and I say that without the due respect that physical comedy should get. Like it's not like impressive physical comedy. It's just like her belly is big.
Yeah.
It's like, ha,
which
fat
is also
lady.
A shame because like Kate Walsh is a comedian.
Yeah.
Like obviously we know her. Obviously we know her as, you know, from Grey's Anatomy, where she's not playing to that strength, but like her background is in improv and comedy.
Yeah.
And it's like really interesting to see. Wow, I'm going in. It's really interesting to see talent wasted. And yeah, it's weird that they like are doing her so dirty as a character and as an actor, like where they're just like putting a really bad fake stomach in and making her like tacky, but in a way that's like confused about how they want to show tackiness also.
Yeah, like Emily's like embarrassed that she's not like hiding her pregnant belly more. And I'm just like, we right. really can't still be in that moment in 2022. We really need for the way we see pregnant women not to be like, do everything you can to hide that you're pregnant.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking to two pregnant friends who were saying that they've just gotten like a handful of comments of people being like, you don't even look pregnant in a way that we're like, they're both pretty far
along. Oh my God.
And so they're like, that's not a, first of all, it's not a compliment.
Right.
Second of all, it's just a weird thing to say.
Right. What's the root of the compliment? Is it that like,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
still passing as like a fully functioning human because only men who can't get pregnant are that, or like the height of professionalism mm-hmm. and da da da. And mm-hmm. does it come from fat phobia? And I would say it comes from both.
Both. Yeah. Both. Which, you know, I'll say our stance is anti.
Yeah. That's right. Thank you for putting it on the record. Yeah.
I want to move on to the next thing that made me really laugh.
Yeah.
Which is Doug. Doug, Emily's ex-boyfriend from Chicago, whose whole thing is that he's like, you know, not very well. I guess his whole thing is that he's like a Chicagoan who's not well traveled and like is for a small town Chicago boy, question mark. So it's complicated because I've already razzed this episode so much for how much it's an ad for McDonald's. But I do always get a little kick of delight every time I'm in the West Loop and I see Hamburger University, which is the McDonald's international headquarters. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I do have my, you know, no shade to McDonald's, but it's really funny because I guess Doug gets his dream job and is calling Emily to tell her and to ask if she would work on a new global campaign.
Yeah. Really upsetting. He's like, I only have to take one train. And she's like, that's your dream. That's what you deserve. It was just like so mean.
Yeah, it was so mean. I really appreciated the like fake Chicago background they gave his shot, did which had ads it? For
the
ads
Chicago for shows by the Chicago National Theater. That's what it was. Yeah, Chicago National Theater.
I was like, was oh so yeah, funny. I love the Chicago National Theater.
Yeah, it was so, and the, yeah, and the ad for it was like a hand holding a thing. It was really funny. And I was also
very
like,
good.
Are they not allowed to actually put like the Goodman and Steppenwolf? Like probably, I can't imagine why, given every other thing that's shot, you know, in a specific location, you do that. And it's like, you don't, again, a quick Google will tell you that you could do an ad for Steppenwolf and Goodman and like make
Steppenwolf probably hung up so fast. The Goodman was like,
we could use it. We're like, we could use
yeah.
it.
The Goodman was like, let me talk to some people.
Yeah. Steppenwolf and was like, we'll talk to Laurie like, Metcalf. And she was like, absolutely not.
Not over my dead body.
but do you know that Tracy Letts is, he's a guest star in this season?
Shut up.
I thought I was going to get you.
I thought I was going to get you.
No, so
but
bad. Who?
Okay, but this is a fun game. Okay, what serious actor, like capital S, capital A,
mm-hmm.
do we think? Like, not totally unbelievable. Like, Tracy Letts, I'm like, that's a little unbelievable.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
I think that's unbelievable.
That she would, no, I think she would. I bet she will, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because it's Darren Star and there's so
yeah,
many.
Yeah, but did you hear the rumor that there's going to be a crossover where this is how we get Kim Cattrall back? Because you know how, like, in the Sex and the City reboot,
oh, no.
they say that she's in Europe.
Wait.
And so people are like, oh, me. And she, like, works in PR.
That would be amazing. I would love that.
It would be really fun.
So, Doug, I thought the actor who played Doug, while absolutely, you know, sexless, and they don't give him anything, and they don't give their relationship any value. He did make me laugh. The performance that the comedian, obviously's performance of going, not my butt, I meant to call. I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. Flowers for you, Doug.
I also said, hot boss. Is there going to be a hot boss? And without jumping too far ahead, not particularly, I mean, he's handsome, but it's not like a romantic thing. I've been so trained by this show.
Yeah.
When they're like, you're going to meet someone in two scenes. I'm like, let me guess, they're going to want to fuck Emily by the end of the episode. But I was wrong. So I was wrong about that. That's one thing I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Sylvie looked amazing. We see her in her apartment. Her outfit.
I wrote the same thing. I wrote Sylvie looks incredible.
Amazing.
Oh my God. She, it's this weird thing where I'm like, she clearly knows what to do. The costume people know how to dress her. Like, there's a lot that's going right for her where I'm like, huh. So, like,
so it is
it possible. Yeah, it is possible. Yeah, she looks so amazing.
I will say, like, she is the only character that is not a punchline. Like, I'm trying to think of, and maybe Camille, the two French women, honestly. We're like, they're not, we're not supposed to giggle at their misbehavior at all. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, Emily, we eye roll at. Mindy, we eye roll at every now and again. It's like a... Yeah, again, I don't really know. I don't know. She's just like, she feels, as we've said before, she feels like she's in a different show, and it's a show I would be really interested in watching. But she looks incredible, and basically Emily brings like the idea of doing McDonald's to her. And we you know, hear again that Emily has not made a decision yet of what she's going to do. I wrote hair funny.
Oh, maybe when Lucas is like, you changed your hair. And by Lucas, I mean Gabrielle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. Great memory. So then she runs into Gabrielle, or she talks to Emily's with him, whatever, walking around. And so I watched him in Ticket to Paradise. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched it yet. I will watch it.
Okay, I need you to watch it. And what I'll say to people who haven't seen it, he got the guy who plays at Gabrielle, Lucas Bravo. Yeah, Lucas Bravo, right. He is a comedic actor. I did not know that. He is, talk about talent wasted. He is so funny in Ticket to Paradise. Like, even if it wasn't like a great comedy necessarily. It was fun, whatever. He's doing such a good job being basically like a dumb guy who would do anything for Julia Roberts. It's really funny. And I, now watching his performance, I like him so much more because I'm like, oh, he's funny. And when she freaks out about her hair to him and like overreacts, his reaction to that made me laugh. Anyway, I'm back on board with Gabrielle. I'm really,
okay, interesting, because I've never been impressed by him as an actor. And I'm kind of like, why is his star rising? Like, he's in so many ads and things now, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
But that's interesting if he's good.
Yeah. So he takes her to McDonald's. And he's like, have you ever been to a McDonald's in France? She's like, no. He's like, let me treat you to lunch. And she's like, wow, so chic. And it looked like a boardroom.
I had to say, what I wrote was, to be fair, this is not wrong. We're like, not to toot my own horn, but we actually studied abroad in Europe, in Prague, to be specific. And McDonald's there was awesome. And it was like super clean and big. And I got a nice cup of coffee. You could get like pretty tasty little sides. And not that being a McDonald's apologist is anything new, but I'm like, I kill for fries. And a McFlurry any day.
Yeah, you didn't text me during the, you know, we're not talking during the episode watching, which we're doing separately, except you did text me to say that you were ravenous from the McDonald's ad. I agree, because I've actually, I mean, I hate to bring it up like this, but like I've been to France a few times and studied abroad in Morocco. And, yeah, it's okay. But I do remember it being very formative that we went to McDonald's when I was on like a trip in middle school with a shout out LaSalle Language Academy. And I remember getting pesto on like a baguette panini breakfast thing in France. And it was so good. And I was like, what? And it was very, so yeah. So I hear you with that.
Oh, it doesn't make like the way that McDonald's is used in this episode any less wild. Like, to be clear, like, all I'm saying is I like McDonald's. I just want it to be known like on this. Like, all I'm saying is, like, McDonald's is good.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
But it is still absolutely. Okay. Here's a question. What does the phrase out of pocket mean?
Well, I'll tell you, it's popping up all over. And I think it's Gen Z. And I think we've now hit the age where, like, we would know if we were younger.
I keep trying to figure it out. And I use context clues.
It's unhinged.
And I can't. Out of pocket.
But, and I might take this out because of like, you know, being so very 30 in this moment, but I don't know where it comes from. But the first time I heard it was on Sex Lives of College Girls.
Okay. I heard it there and I heard it on another show and I've seen it in writing. Okay. I Googled out of pocket, meaning having lost money in a transaction paid for. No, I know what that means. What does out of pocket mean? Slang. Being out of pocket means being unavailable or unreachable. Out of pocket behavior is doing or saying something inappropriate.
Who used it in this?
No one used it in this show, but I was, I had a sudden impulse to say that the McDonald's scene was out of pocket. And I was like, oh, am I using that correctly? Because I just, it's been like crashing into my consciousness for the last few weeks.
100%.
In a way where I'm like, what are people talking about? Okay. 100%. So this scene was out of pocket. And Emily's acting out of pocket.
Yeah.
And so is Gabrielle. And that's a bunch of people actually have been acting out of pocket.
Out of pocket. I thought that he did a good job playing it serious, like playing it really grounded, which was a breath of fresh air for me, like a, just like a two-person. I'm sorry, I'm still on the 24-hour improv show vibe, but like just like very, just the two of them without the chaos of like whatever. That said, it feels like the fundamental assumption of the show, very common to other shows, is compulsive heteronormativity. That's monogamous. And obviously, like, right, we know that. We get that she has to choose between two men. There's no, like, you know, room for her to be like, maybe we sleep together, whatever. It's fine. I don't care. I don't need to be like an ad for polyamory. The point is, what bothers me is this idea that, like, he has to be partnered, which we got at the end of the other season, where it's like, well, you didn't love me, so I had to ask Kemi to, like, move back in with me. Like, that's sort of the implication. And I'm like, or you could just be single and only date people that you really want to be with. But they both, but this conversation was very, like, you have Alfie, I have Kemi, so we did it. We got our partners, and it just didn't, it happens to be that it's not each other. And I'm just like, ah, it's, like, so not familiar to me anymore, if it ever was. But it just feels like so bizarrely, the show feels so 2022 late capitalism in some ways. And then in other ways, I'm like, the fundamental assumptions that we're making about relationships feel so unfamiliar. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
I'm all riled up about it, I guess.
I know. I think that I'm like not riled up because I don't expect anything. And I think that, I think that's part of what bothers me about the way Gabrielle's character is written is like, you know, as they talk about later, not choosing is a choice. And he does so much not choosing.
Yeah.
Which just like bothers me. It even just bothers me as a character writing thing where I'm like, he doesn't really have agency in this show.
Right.
So another thing that happens is, you know, Emily sets up Gabrielle by saying Alfie's leaving soon and I should have planned something, but I didn't. And then Gabrielle dunks it by saying, what about the restaurant? I'll set a table aside. Boom. That means we're going to get everyone together later.
We love.
we love. Mindy and the crew get a gig at a jazz club. And then we see Emily in her French class where she learns about Sartre.
Yeah. And the teacher goes, have you ever heard of Sartre? And the look she looks, I'm like, the director was like, make it unclear. So that we get all the audience who does know him is like, great, same. And everybody who doesn't know him is like, great, same. It's kind of beautiful.
So true.
She walks the line beautifully.
It is so true. It's like, continue to fill in whatever blanks of this show exist with like whatever you want to project onto it. Like either Emily did go to
so I'm like, college. So you have heard of sound? You haven't heard of sound.
It's really unclear. But I don't think, even if she had heard of him, I don't think she'd heard of existentialism because that kind of is like a new idea to her.
For sure.
Like maybe she'd like read the book, but like didn't understand that word at the time. And now she's like, existentialism.
And then Alfie comes in and he looked great. And I just want to correct the record. Earlier I said they had no chemistry and he doesn't do it for me. I'm totally wrong. He was so hot. And I thought he was like I thought it was very sexy what he gave to her.
I thought he looked really good in his nice little suit, but
and he comes just to hang out with her in her French class.
Yeah, that just like doesn't that to me. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm in class.
I was gonna say Allison would never.
that to me was just so. I was like, go away, Alfie. And I still don't think they really have chemistry. Or like, it feels like a very forced. Like if those are my friends in a couple, I'd be like, they're both so pretty. Why aren't they with other people? Like there are other people who could love them. It's not like they have to be with each other.
Because they're so pretty.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, so then we get Mindy singing at the jazz club. And then she sings a song, and there's subtitles on it. And I thought it was so bizarre.
It was extremely bizarre. So have you seen John Wick?
Yes, I have. With you and our friend Ned back in the day.
Yeah, we did.
By his insistence.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, our friend is a big John Wick fan and turned us into
Wickheads.
Fan, at least we're Wickers. We're Wicker men. So in John Wick, there's that weird thing where like certain lines are subtitled.
Yeah, but I think that's like cool when they do it like that.
Yeah, it is cool. And it's like a kind of weird little choice in a weird little movie. This was really bizarre.
Yeah, and also it was like in a very like, yeah, bizarrely ornate font and everything. And then mm-hmm. the song that she was singing, I didn't know it. I'm embarrassed, whatever. My Country and Me. It's a Josephine Baker song. Or no, it's not called that. It's called Two Loves. J'ai deux amours. The point is, like, yeah, what is the point of having it subtitled? Especially if it's a song that, like, is familiar to a lot of people, which it probably is. Mm-hmm. Not me, again. Like, I didn't know. But I got it. And yeah. Sort of like you with the blue trumpet.
Yeah.
I just was confused why. And then we kind of go in and out of, like, sort of a music video where we see every couple or the couple's kind of living their life. Mm-hmm. I will say that I was reminded how hot the photographer is.
Sylvie's hot boyfriend, hot young boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Like them together, I should say. It's not that he's more attractive than the other man on the show, but like his hands on her stomach and she's like in mm-hmm. his lap. And it was like very erotic.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the only ones who sleep together.
Yeah, she's had sex.
Who don't have like a Ken doll situation.
Oh. Right, so we get Emily and Alfie on a walk. And she basically recaps everything that has been set up. And I was like, is this by any chance the midway mark? And it was at minute 18 and it was a 36 minute episode. And I was like, wow, they like really, like someone in the room was like, we need to make sure that people are following. And I was like, no, I think we got it. And she has to make a choice. In fact, that was the cliffhanger. So, yeah. Like, we've also had a year to think about the fact that that's what
right.
the choice is that needs to be made. And she just, like, lays it all out again.
I would say the central tension of this scene for me is that the entire time she's holding a spoon, but not a cup of ice cream. And he's holding an ice cream and eating it with a spoon. And I'm wondering, is she going to take a bite of his ice cream? And then finally, when she moves to put her spoon, as if to take a bite, she just puts her spoon in the ice cream and leaves it there without taking a bite.
That is so out of pocket.
It is out of pocket. It is.
It's so sad.
But then we get to move on to another McDonald's ad. Then there's another ad break. McDonald's, where it's sort of like, oh, you think you're too good for McDonald's? You're sure love eating it, and they're eating the baguettes, and they're like, this is great. I had one and a half of them. And you know, Luke is like, the golden arches. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone, McDonald's, McDonald's, McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. We get some disordered thinking when Julianne is like, I exercise today. So that we hit that. That's on your bingo card for every episode.
Oh my God, so depressing.
But anyway, they're basically like, Sylvie, give it a chance. She's like, all right, I'll give it a chance. Set up a dinner. Or I'll make a reservation at the Eiffel Tower, as one does the day of.
Yeah, day of.
It was funny. She was like, Americans love that place. And I honestly was like so excited we were going to be at the Eiffel Tower. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Let's cool. see it.
Let's see it.
So then we, you know, as we kind of know, this has sort of all been building up to like a Mrs. Doubtfire minus the fun situation. Like, we're going to have her having to balance both things, but they're going to like somehow suck the joy out of it. And sure enough, what could have been like a 2-episode arc of her balancing two things instead becomes like a pretty boring scene at dinner where Madeline shows up with her weird purse again.
Yeah, holding it similarly the same weird way because Luke had gone back to the office to get his computer and revealed everything to her in a way that was almost comical because it's like, haha, he's saying all the wrong things. This is satire. But it's funny the way that satire moves plot along in this show. he reveals everything and Madeline is like freaking out. And so, yeah, then she crashes the dinner that was going really well.
Yeah, it was going really well because Emily pitched saying, do you know the George Gershwin song, Swonderful? Well, we're going to do Mick Wonderful. And then the McDonald's executive goes, I'm loving it. And that is the real dialogue.
I really did do a gig for McDonald's last week. And we literally were like in the rehearsal, we like just kept saying, I'm loving it. And so I watched that scene and I was like, true to life. If you're talking with people, that is how it is. When you're talking with people who work at McDonald's, like you cannot help yourself from like saying, I'm loving it. It's we're all broke. And so then Sylvie's like, you didn't quit? And Emily's like, she's pregnant. She's the most pathetic version of a woman there is.
Yeah. I would ruin her sad little life even more.
And then she gets it, and then it's bad. And Sylvie fires her.
And Madeline's water breaks, and she goes into labor. Gets in an ambulance to go have her baby.
In a way, that's really embarrassing. And that's like, she's like, I'm peeing. And I'm like, again, I can't believe we're still doing that. Like, what even is that stuff that comes out of women?
I know. It's terrible. So something else I want to note is that all this time, Emily's acting as if during this work dinner, she's like, I can still make it to Alfie's going away party at the restaurant. Needless to say, she doesn't get there and Alfie's pissed. But also, while she's not there, Antoine meets Alfie and is like, oh, you're a banker? I might have a job for you. Like, there's kind of that is introduced, which I have a feeling that'll be back. And I'm just like, man, there are a lot of jobs in Paris. We gotta go.
We did say we were going to do our final season there, so.
Yeah, we will.
I will say that also, Alfie's like, where's that Emily? So, like, she had managed to tell Camille, Mindy, and Gabrielle that she had other plans, but she, like, didn't text Alfie.
Her boyfriend.
Who, yeah. And also, they don't say, like, she has a work dinner, so she's not going to make dinner. It's like, I don't know why they're keeping it. Talk about like why they're not being specific about things. Like, why keep that vague? Just literally say like, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to make it to dinner because I have another dinner.
And then roll the credits.
Anyway, she makes it as he's closing up. And then he says something that's so wild where he goes, I knew your career was important to you. I just didn't realize it was more important than me.
Yeah. Hate that.
And I said, why wouldn't her career be more important than you, a guy that she's been dating for like maybe 2 months. I really have no idea how time works in this world.
Yeah.
Let's even say 6 months. I'm like, even say a year. I'm like, yeah, like that's.
Yeah.
What? I just had no idea. Your career meant more to you than me. A guy who you just became official with two episodes ago.
It's all bad.
It's so wild.
And they're all kind of pouty, and Emily's like, you know, does her classic, like, how dare there be consequences for my actions?
Yeah,
really wild.
So that's the end of the episode. My favorite line, and I want to hear what your favorite line is. Mm-hmm. My favorite line was when Sylvie goes, you want to have it all. That's so American. And I liked that, and I appreciated that. I was like, I thought that was like a good line. I think that was like a justifiable little, like, dig from her perspective, felt in character, just like what was good writing to me.
That is a good line. I think that when they push that as like the thesis of the show, I think the show is stronger. I just think they so often forego having a thesis at all and just kind of like, you know, do a McDonald's ad.
I feel like if season two was what we got so excited about when we watched the first episode of season two, if you recall, was that it was like gal pal time. It was like, it's going to be a romp in Paris. Yeah. And I feel like this was a real return to the first season of like, it's not a romp. It's actually a slog to like live here and brutal. Deal with these dynamics. And it's like, it's just not as fun.
No, it's not.
Because also the second season was like episodic in terms of marketing. It almost felt more like a Buffy episode or something where it's like, who's the big bad? Like, this is the big, the big client that we got to like tackle. And that's formulaic, but fun. And this, I'm just like, oh, yeah. Like, are we just going to be detangling this now all season?
I kind of, like, don't know what the new drama will be. Like, I think it's just, like, still going to be Gabrielle and Camille and still going to be Alfie. Like,
yeah,
still going to be Antoine.
Right.
Still going to be touched with Sylvie.
Right.
Whereas, like, I loved the idea of her and Sylvie finally being, like, a team.
Totally. And she says that in a pretty out-of-character moment in two-thirds in the way. She's like, I hope you can see me as a mentor one day. And it was like, oh, yeah, finally. Cool. Nice. And then she fires her.
The show was like, actually, no. So, yeah. I mean, what do you think is next?
You know, for as predictable as I found this episode to be, as little things were unveiled, and I was like, great, so the next scene's going to be this. Great, so it's going to be da-da-da. Oh, yeah, Mindy gets called by the jazz club booker to be like, I love you. Keep working with us regularly. And she was like, great, the band will be so happy. And he was like, no, we have a house band. Sorry. So that's going to be her dynamic or her conflict or problem. So as predictable as I found some of those things to be, I have no idea what the next episode's going to be. I honestly, I'm like, I don't know. And I can't say I am excited about it. I'm disappointed. I want to be more. There's no one I'm rooting for right now. And I need, we all need a hero. Mm-hmm. You can quote me on that.
Quoted.
What do you think is next?
Yeah, I would agree that I'm like not super excited. Like I want more hijinks. I want them to like see hijinks through instead of just like making them like talk it out in like exasperated ways. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess there's going to be, I guess maybe Alfie's going to be like, I can stay. Antoine offered me a job. And now I'm a financier for Gabriel's restaurant.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Do you have a line that you loved?
I think I really liked, oh my God, we're playing at a jazz club. I did like that line. And I liked her pitch about the, about quote, George Gershwin's song, Swonderful. Just because hearing Lily Collins say Swonderful was like so bizarre.
We're doing this. We are now, we are binging this show. We committed to that. So
we did. So stay tuned, I guess.
Stay tuned. We're going to go watch another one and it's going to be good. And I'm excited. And I think I'm going to get drunk for this one. It's 3 o'clock our time. And I think maybe I should have a glass of white wine. And you know what I will say? I do think this next episode is going to be really good. Actually, like I have a feeling that like the second episode is going to be like fun because we got a lot of crap out of the way. So I'm going to stay optimistic like that.
I love that.
And I love you. Do you know that?
I know.
Je t'aime, bitch.
I know.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Au revoir. Par tes rayons à la pointe cornue, en ma faveur, ils seront plus la nuit, faisant obscur un temps serein et beau. You've been listening to Nina, Hannah, and Emily in Paris, a podcast about Netflix's Emily in Paris. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts and share the show with all your friends and enemies. Our listenership has grown so much since we started in October 2020. Terrible month. And it makes doing this show for no money really fun and worth it to know that we have listeners who enjoy what we're putting out into the world.
This season, as we actually already mentioned in the episode proper, we really want to hear from you. I can say that because I do this show with Nina, I get a lot of feedback and responses from friends via voice memo. I just got one from today from my sister's friend who sent it to her and then sent it to me. And we were thinking that it would actually be really fun to open the conversation up a little bit larger to anyone who listens. So if you have anything you want to say about Emily in Paris, the show, or the podcast, but specifically we're thinking like plot, characters, whatever, a take, a qualm, a fan theory, etc. You can email us. We have an email now. It's emilyinparispod@gmail.com. So email us a voice memo and we'll play it on the show and we'll respond. So yeah, do that. It's fun. You can also email us and say you don't want us to share it. But yeah, keep in touch.
Please do. And good news, we'll be back in a couple days with another episode, so stay tuned. And we also have an Instagram account now, so follow us at Emily in Paris Pod for updates and extra content.
Yeah, if you want a full visual of the out-of-pocket way she files her nails, that's where you're going to go.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.